Now that Religious Supply Center isn't in Louisville anymore, part of CEI in Athens, Alabama, I had to find a new bookstore just to go into and just to shop around for things that I might need on a moment's notice. And while I was in there in this bookstore over on Hurstburn Lane, that's where it is, I was in the Bible section looking at the different Bibles. I had two little old ladies come in the same section. And she said, "Do you know much about Bibles?" I said, "I know some about Bibles. What can I do for you?" And she said, "Can you tell me what be the best Bible for me?" I said, "Well, I really don't know that, because I don't know your level of reading, first of all. The King James Version is very difficult for a lot of people to read. Usually the most grammatical or correct grammatical Bible is the New American Standard Version. Because when you go to Strong's to look up the word or the meaning of the word, usually you find that in the New American Standard Version. So that's the reason why I use the New American Standard Version." I said, "What exactly are you looking for?" And she said, "Red letters." I said, "Red letters." I said, "You mean the words of Jesus?" And she said, "Yes." She said, "That's what's important to me, the words of Jesus." And I thought about that as I was preparing one of the lessons in this series that we're doing right now. And no doubt the red letters are very important, the words of Jesus. But at the end of these red letters, he says in John 16 and in verse 12. John 16, verse 12, "I have many more things to say to you now, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but what he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come." And that's what we've been talking about on Sunday night for the past couple of weeks. We have this lesson tonight and then the lesson next week, and then this little mini-series is going to be over. We talked last week about the Acts of the Apostles. And then we broke it down to just the fact of Acts of Apostles are really just some acts of some of the apostles. But as we looked at this last week, we saw the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus both began to do and to teach. It says, until the day that he was taken up, and after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given them commands to the apostles. And of course, that would be the book of Luke. Not only the book of Luke, but Matthew, Mark, and John as well. We've looked at this already over the course of our study. But the Great Commission in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, Luke chapter 24, and then verses 46 and 47. It says in Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who has believed and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." So we see, as we started that little chart last week, about the fact that we must preach the gospel. There have to be people that believe, people that are baptized, and as they do so, they are going to be saved. In Matthew 28, what we started the very first week when we started this series. In Matthew 28, in verses 19 and 20, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We see that they're to make disciples. They are to make students. We also see that they were to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, or by the authority of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Well, we see something else as well, and that's in Luke chapter 24. It says that he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." We see there is repentance. We see there is remission of sins. And also they see that it should be preached beginning at Jerusalem. Then last week we summarized, just like you would in a courtroom. You would summarize different arguments. And in this summary, we break down and we see what happens in the commission that Jesus is given to make disciples, to preach the gospel. And they were to preach the gospel beginning at Jerusalem, to believe, to repent, to be baptized. For the remission of their sins, they were going to be saved. And then they were to teach them further concerning what they needed to do to be pleasing to Christ. In Acts, the second chapter last week, we saw that they were given an example to follow. We see the Great Commission first and foremost. But after that, we see the example that they were to follow. Was it going to be the same as what Jesus had to say? Well, we see in verse 22 and 23 that they preached the gospel. What did they preach? They preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not only that, but we saw that it was going to begin in Jerusalem, like they had said back in Luke chapter 24. Not only that, we see in verse 37 they were to believe. They were to repent and to be baptized. Verse 38, for the remission of their sins. And then in verse 42, it says you teach them further after they're baptized into Christ. But the danger was that Jerusalem would become a comfort zone to them. Everything's going well there. They're baptizing 3,000. They're baptizing 5,000. All the apostles are there. And there's an element of comfort, no doubt, in the air as they're in Jerusalem with the apostles. But he had told them before he left, "You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So now their comfort zone was broken. We see, first of all, in Acts chapter 8 and in verse 1, "At that time a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." Was this great commission, was it going to work outside Jerusalem? That's the question tonight. Was the Great Commission going to work outside Jerusalem? We see that they're successful in Jerusalem. They've baptized a lot of people in Jerusalem. Now, what was going to happen? Again, Judea and Samaria. It says in verse 4, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. How in the world was that going to work out? Samaria. Samaria, the last time we had heard much about Samaria is about the fact of John and his brother wanting to call down fire and kill these people because they wouldn't allow them to pass through, some of the Samaritans. And then after that, Jesus taught them about the good Samaritans to show them that they needed help, they needed the gospel as well, and there were some that were willing to show kindness. Well, what do we see first of all? Well, again, we have to draw another line because this isn't the red letter edition now. The first part, what Jesus had to say. All of a sudden, we summarized what has happened thus far. In Acts chapter 2, we have an example of what occurred on that day, the day of Pentecost, and thereafter, as they believed, repent, and were baptized for the remission of their sins. Well, in Samaria, in chapter 8, let's go over and let's read it. Verse 4, Philip, he's there in Samaria. Verse 5, he went down to the city of Samaria, proclaiming Christ to them. The crowds, with one accord, were giving attention to what Philip, as they heard and saw the signs that he was performing. For the case of those who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them, shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was much rejoicing in that city. And there was a man named Simon who formerly was practicing magic in the city, astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from the smallest to the greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, this man is what is called the great power of God. And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with magic arts. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of Christ and in the name of Jesus Christ or by the authority of Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. He preached Christ. He preached things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, both men and women were being baptized. They believed. They were baptized. Again, following our chart here tonight, just like with the Great Commission in the beginning, just like the example in Acts chapter 2, when they move on from there, when they finally leave their comfort zone of Jerusalem and have to go out and spread the gospel everywhere, what are they doing? They're preaching the same thing again. Preaching the same thing again. Did it work in Jerusalem? Yes. Did it work in Samaria? Yes. In Acts chapter 8 and in verse 13, it says, even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. And as they observed signs of great wonders or miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. Simon himself believed. He was baptized. Well, let's move on to one other example tonight. The lesson's yours. In chapter 8 and in verse 26. Chapter 8 and in verse 26, beginning. This will be through verse 40. It says an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to a road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza." Some people today say Gaza. "This is a desert road." Not like you would think about the Mojave Desert or the Sahara Desert. But it's just a place to where people just don't live. There's not much there. That's the idea. So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join his chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "Well, how can I except someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And the passage of scripture that he was reading was this. He was a sheep led to the slaughter. And as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. Verse 34 now, the eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet speak? Say this, of himself or of someone else?" Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And as they went along down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." He answered and he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And they ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus. And as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Well, what's some things we notice? He seemed to be a very busy man. Treasurer of Ethiopia. You can imagine how busy you were during that time without calculators, without computers, without anything else. That would be a very busy man. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship. We see this is down south, below Egypt. This isn't just a short trip from Shelbyville into Louisville. There's quite an amount of effort here on the part of this man to make his way to Jerusalem. Again, worship. The idea of worship means worth. To show God is worth. What is God worth to you? Well, evidently, God was worth a great deal to the Ethiopian eunuch because he had traveled a tremendous distance to get there to worship. He returned reading his Bible. I don't know really how much we can appreciate this verse about the fact that he had bought some scrolls, or at least part of the scrolls of Isaiah. and how much that would actually cost to do that even at that time. Very, very few. Probably in the synagogues there would be some, but for somebody to own some individually, there was evidently quite a great amount of money put out to buy even a partial scroll of Isaiah, even at that time. He was trying to understand it. Do you understand what you're reading? How can I, except some man should guide me? And he was willing to be taught by this man. Can I draw some reasonable conclusion from, as he opens up the scroll and starts talking about Isaiah, and he preaches to him a man named Jesus? Trying to understand it. He was reading Isaiah 53. Verse 32 again, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. That's sort of hard to imagine about the Son of God. If you'd open up and just talk about the Son of God and then to read this, it doesn't seem possible that the Son of God would fit in with a passage like this. Well, evidently Philip explained to him further what he meant. As a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth in humiliation. His judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. So he preached to him Jesus. The question is it the same commission? We looked the first week at the Great Commission, Matthew, the 28th chapter. Last week, as we broke this down, we looked at whether this was an example or not in Acts chapter 2, and it was. But now, as they leave their comfort zone of Jerusalem, is it going to work still as well? Well, it worked in Samaria. Now, is it going to work on the side of the road in a desert place? Well, he says, what hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He went down into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. He baptized him. Then they went on their way, and he went on his way rejoicing. And I suppose Philip did too. I suppose he went on his way rejoicing as well, that he had the opportunity to preach and to teach the gospel to someone. So as we conclude tonight, in chapter 8 and then verses 26 through 40, concerning that of Philip and the eunuch, what happened? Again, he preached to him Jesus. He preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to him. We see as well with the Samaritans and with others that they repented. And you can definitely see the fruit of their repentance. And they went on his way rejoicing. Would you like to do that tonight? I thought about how to end this sermon tonight. I'll end it this way. Back in the 70s sometime, when I was with Brother Jackson, he gave to him a paperback book. I don't know, maybe Phil has read it, maybe some other people have read it, about the lives and times of T.B. Larimore. He was a gospel preacher in Texas from the 1800s to the early 1900s. Sometimes they would hold meetings from 6 weeks to 6 months long, and people would come and respond to the gospel. In this book, one story really caught my attention, probably more than any. It said Brother Larimore had been preaching in Texas somewhere in a meeting. They had baptized a great number of people thus far. But he saw two ladies in the audience every night. When they would leave, they would smile at him, but they wouldn't say a word. Brother Larimore was curious and said, these two ladies said they never do speak to me. One person said, well, they're deaf and mute. At the end of one of the weeks of the meeting, these two ladies came forward. I doubt in West Texas at that time in the 1800s, they had many people to translate for it. They were scrambling around as they were singing the song of invitation, trying to find a pencil even to find out from them what they wanted to do. And when the song was over, he finally found a pencil and he sat down. And one of the ladies grabbed his Bible and she started pointing. And he said, she's pointing to what prevents me from being baptized. And he looked at these two ladies and he pointed to them. He said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And they took his Bible and pointed back to him. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they were baptized. The Great Commission even worked for them. You might be in the audience tonight, not a Christian. Understand the condition that you need to be baptized into Christ. Whatever your need may be, come right now while together we stand and we sing.